Earl and Ichabod Stick. One evening, Earl was sitting in the kitchen while his mother made dinner, and he watched his dog, Ichabod, play on the floor. Earl had given Ichabod a stick, and Ichabod was gnawing at it and pushing it around. At one point, the stick got under the legs of the stool, and Ichabod crouched under the stool, grabbed the stick with his mouth, and tugged at it. But the stick was wider than the stool, and the ends of the stick caught on the legs of the stool and would not come out. Ichabod pulled harder, but the stick was caught on the legs of the stool, so when Ichabod pulled the middle of the stick, the ends of the stick pulled the legs of the stool. The dog pulled the stool across the floor, growling the entire time. Earl laughed at the dog as he tried to understand how the stick was stuck. "That silly dog," said his mother. "If he would just let the stick go and grab it at one end, it would come out easily." "But he won't," said Earl. "He doesn't want to let go of the stick. He wants the stick." "That's his problem. He hasn't thought through the problem." "It would be easier if he just let go of the stick and took one end and pulled it," said Earl. "Let that be a lesson to you, Earl. Think before you act." "That's right," said Earl's uncle as he came in the door. "And especially these days," said the uncle. "I just was told that there's an ogre near the town. It has come from the deep woods to our area. He's looking for his brother, the one that fell through the ice last winter, who didn't come home." Earl didn't say anything. His uncle continued, "So, Earl, be careful when you're traveling in the woods. Keep an eye out. You can hear them from far away, but nevertheless, they can run fast if they want to." "Yes," said Earl. "I'll be careful." The next day, Earl was out in the countryside, wandering in the open fields. He walked by the place where he and Ichabod had fallen down a hole into a cave and had been trapped. The farmer had now put a wooden cover over it so that nobody else would fall in. Earl kept walking across the field into the woods and down the side of the hill. He saw the rocks that marked the other end of the cave where he had finally gotten out. He kept walking, listening to the birds and thinking about that adventure. But the birds stopped chirping, and the forest was now still. Earl stopped. Earl listened for the usual forest noises, but it was quiet. Then he heard something. There was a heavy thrashing of moving branches. Something big, something powerful was coming through the woods. Earl remembered the warning of his uncle. Glancing around, he silently slipped behind a tree and tried to be small. He listened. The sounds were getting louder. There was no question about it. There was the thumping sound of heavy feet. It was big and lumbering. Earl felt a tingle as he realized that it was moving in his direction. It was coming towards him. This must be the ogre. Earl knew something about ogres. They were mean creatures. Ogres said that they liked children, but what they meant was that they liked them to eat. He knew that they ran fast because he had been chased by one. If this one was a brother of the ogre that fell through the ice, then he'd be looking for the little boy that had led him onto that frozen lake where the ogre had fallen in. And that meant that this ogre was looking for Earl. Earl thought to himself that maybe if he stayed very still on this side of the tree, the ogre wouldn't see him. So he waited. He could hear the footsteps getting louder. The ogre was getting closer. Earl looked across the forest to see where he could run and hide. Through the trees, he could see the rocks around the hole where the cave was. It wasn't a very big hole, and the ogre probably couldn't get in there. If he had to run, he thought that he could make it to the hole. Suddenly, a deer, who was also hiding, sprang from a tree near Earl and ran past him down the hill. Earl heard the ogre shift on his feet and then heard him running towards the deer. Maybe he wanted a snack. But that meant that the ogre would be running by Earl's tree. He might see Earl's red coat, which he had put on that morning to keep him warm, and then he might decide that instead of chasing the deer, he would chase Earl. Earl waited. The ogre was getting closer and heading down towards the deer, and suddenly Earl could see him, a big ogre, slightly green with patches of gray, taking large strides through the forest towards the deer. The ogre wasn't looking at Earl. Earl held his breath as the ogre strode by, chasing the animal. The deer was jumping to and fro, and it was clear that the ogre would not be able to catch him. And sure enough, this idea occurred to the ogre as he came to the bottom of the hill. The ogre stopped, put his hands on his hips, and shook his big, shaggy head. It was then that the ogre turned, looked up the hill, saw Earl's red coat, and then stared straight into Earl's eyes. Earl hoped he didn't see him, but the ogre smiled, pointed a massive hand with thick fingers at him, and said, "You." The ogre began to run up the hill. Earl bolted, leaping across the side of the hill towards the cave. Earl was running as fast as his legs could carry him. He could see that a tree had fallen next to the rocks and a big branch had broken off and was partly in the hole. The ogre was changing direction and was working its way up the hill quicker than Earl thought possible. The mouth of the cave seemed too far away for him to reach it, but he didn't think the ogre knew about it, so maybe he wasn't running as hard as he could. Earl scrambled up the two rocks, squeezed by the limb of the tree, and into the hole just as the ogre came close. It was dark inside the cave, and Earl grabbed the limb of the tree and fell to the floor. He then twisted back to his feet and stepped back away from the hole. Looking out, Earl could see the ogre looking in. But since it was dark in the cave, Earl didn't think the ogre could see him. Little boy," said the ogre. "I know you're in there. Why don't you come out and talk to me? I know you've talked to my brother. He was the one you fought up on the high cliff. We chatted about the fight that he and you were going to have next to his grandmother's house. I laughed and he laughed, but I didn't hear about him after the fight, and we found him down below the cliffs. And then another brother said he was going to look for you this past winter. But the next thing we knew, he had drowned in the frozen lake. I was very sad about those things. So, little boy, come out. Let's talk about these things. What do you have against ogres?" "No," said Earl, stepping back away from the hole, feeling the cold stone against his hands as he bumped into the back wall. "I don't have anything against ogres. But your first brother took my dog and was going to eat him. And then he was going to eat me and my grandmother. What could I do? And your second brother said he too wanted to have a little bite to eat. And I was going to be the sandwich. And I didn't want that. So I ran away and he followed me. I don't want to come out. Ogres are too hungry. They like little children to eat. And I don't feel like being eaten today." "Oh no," said the ogre. "We don't have to have a picnic right away, but you're going to have to come out of that hole sometime. It's dark in there, and although you might stay in there for a while, you're going to get hungry, and you're going to have to come out. Why not save yourself the trouble and come out and talk about it now? Who knows? Maybe you can persuade me that you aren't worth eating. But I do remember my brothers, and I think it's only fair that you trade maybe one life for the two of theirs." "No," said Earl, "I'm not coming out. I'm going to stay in here until you go away." "We'll see about that," said the ogre. "I'm a very patient person. I'm going to wait here and make sure nobody comes around, and eventually you're going to come out." But Earl decided to wait, and he could hear the ogre sitting outside waiting also. But sure enough, the ogre was right. Earl began to get hungry. He looked around the cave to see how he could get out. And hearing the noise, the ogre once again said, little boy, come out. It's dark in there. At least we could have a little conversation." "No," said Earl, "I'm not coming out." With that, the ogre said, "Well, maybe I should come in there," said the ogre. And the ogre grasped the tree limb that was stuck in the hole and pulled it. It was a very big log and very heavy, and one that Earl couldn't move. The ogre pulled at it like it was a small stick, and the tree limb jerked out of the hole, but breaking off a big piece as it came out, and suddenly the hole was a little bigger. Earl could see the ogre throwing the tree aside and now looking in the hole, and he heard the ogre say, "Ah, I see you in there, little boy. You should come out." And with that, the ogre pushed his hand through the hole, although it barely fit. The hand was thick and meaty, covered in skin that was green and gray, and the top of it had long, bristly hair. Earl moved back in the cave. The ogre's arm came towards him, and its outstretched fingers felt the ground, hunting for Earl. But his arm was too big, and the hole was too small, and so the ogre couldn't reach in far enough to touch Earl. Earl could hear the muffled sound of the ogre saying, "I know you're in there. Some point you're going to go to sleep, and maybe I'll be able to get a finger on you then. Then I'll help you come out," said the ogre. And Earl shouted at the ogre, "I'm not coming out. I'm staying in here." Earl knew that the cave had another entrance, and so he decided he'd go look for that. He went through the back of the cave, through the narrow channel, and finally came into the room where he and Ichabod had fallen in months before. The farmer had put a ladder so you could get up to the hole, which was now covered by a wooden top. Earl climbed the ladder and pushed the top a little bit and looked out across the field. He wondered whether the ogre would be able to see him. He couldn't be sure. He could see the edge of the woods. He wondered how far he could get before the ogre spotted him. As he looked towards the forest, he could see the ears of the ogre. He decided if he climbed out now and ran through the field, the ogre would see him and run after him and catch him. Earl decided he'd have to go to wait for the ogre, to go to sleep, or for someone to come along and help him. He carefully lowered the wooden top, climbed down the ladder, and walked back to the other end of the cave to make sure the ogre wasn't up to any mischief. Earl sat down on part of the broken log from the tree limb, which was far enough away from the hole so the ogre could not reach him and catch him. He could see the ogre outside the hole, but it was dark in the cave, and though the ogre would occasionally look into the hole, Earl was hidden in the dark. Every once in a while, the ogre would ask him to come out, but Earl said that he wouldn't. Earl tried to think about how he's going to get away and whether his uncle would come looking for him and how long that would take. He picked up a stick on the ground and scratched at the surface and tried to come up with a plan. He thought about his uncle and what he had said about being careful, and he thought about his mother in the kitchen and playing with Ichabod and how Ichabod had been so funny with the stick. He scraped the stick on the ground as he thought about this, when he had an idea. Earl looked around the cave, and he found the branch that had been broken off. It was twice as tall as he was and sturdy. It was also heavy. But Earl dragged the log over and carefully laid it close enough to the hole where he thought the ogre might be able to touch it. He took off his red coat and wrapped it around the log, and then took another long stick, not quite as thick, and pushed it through the arms of his coat and zipped up the coat. Now his coat had the body of the log and another stick as its two arms. It looked like a scarecrow in a red coat. He shoved the scarecrow a little closer to the hole. Stepping back, he then cried out to the ogre, "Oh, Mr. Ogre, I'm getting so hungry. You were right. Maybe I will come out and talk to you, but I'm afraid that you'll eat me." The ogre stirred and moved a little closer to the hole, and he said, "Oh, don't worry, little boy. You should certainly come out, and we can talk about it." "But, Mr. Ogre, I'm still hungry right now. Why don't you give me a little piece of bread that you've got so I can have enough strength to talk to you?" He heard the ogre pause. The ogre was thinking. Then the ogre said, "Well, I might have a little piece of bread for you, but I'd hate to drop it on the floor. Why don't I hand the bread to you and you make sure that it doesn't fall? Earl said, Oh, I won't let it fall. You just hand the bread to me and I'll take a little bit and then maybe we can talk. Ah, said the ogre, that's a good idea. In a moment, a huge gray and green hand with spiky hair came through with a small crust of bread. It almost didn't come through the hole because the hand was so big. And then it stretched into the hole. Earl said, You have to come in a little further. I'm afraid to go near the hole. Okay, said the ogre, and its arm came in a little further and further, and Earl was standing away from it and said, Okay, give me the bread. The ogre said, You have to take it from my hand. Earl picked up a stick and poked at the piece of bread, and the ogre quickly dropped the bread, reached down, and grabbed at the stick, and fell on Earl's coat, wrapped around the log and the sticks for two arms. The ogre grabbed at the coat with his big arm, his hand grasping around the whole body of it, and quickly pulled it towards the hole. Earl started shouting, What are you doing? Let go of me. I thought you were going to give me some bread. And he could hear the ogre laughing. I've got you now, little boy. You can have a snack of a piece of bread, but I'm going to have a snack of my own. Earl continued shouting at the ogre that had his big hand around the red coat and held it in his thick hand. The ogre pulled the heavy log with its red coat and its arms of stick towards the hole. Earl continued to shout, Let me go! Your hands are too strong. I can barely breathe. Stop pulling me. He could hear the laughing of the ogre as he pulled the stick closer and closer to the hole. And then as he pulled his hand up, which was tight around the coat, which was tight around the log and the stick, the long log caught on the edges of the small hole and was stuck there. Earl smiled as he saw that his plan was working, but he shouted, Oh, my head and legs are stuck against the side of the cave. Let me go. Let me go. He could hear the ogre grunt as he pulled on the log. The ogre now had Earl in his hand, he knew, and he didn't want to let go. But he couldn't get him out of the cave. The ogre just began to pull harder. But he didn't have Earl in his hand. His hand was wrapped around a log of tough wood, and the log was too big to go sideways through the hole. So the ogre kept pulling, but the log wouldn't break, and the ogre wouldn't let go. Earl shouted in a weakened voice, Oh, stop, stop! You're hurting me against the side of the cave. He could hear the ogre growling a little bit and pulling, and not knowing what to do, but not wanting to let go of the little boy on the other side of the cave, and not knowing how to get him out. Then Earl rushed towards the other end of the cave. He knew that eventually the ogre might be able to break the log or figure out what was stopping it. But he also knew that the ogre, like Ichabod, wasn't going to let go of the red-coated stick and log because he thought he had Earl, and he really wanted to have Earl for lunch. Earl rushed to the other end of the cave. He climbed the ladder, looked out from under the wooden cover. There was no ogre in sight. The ogre was hunched over the hole of the cave with his hands stuck in the hole, pulling and pulling to get the little boy he thought was in there out. Earl pushed the wooden cover away, climbed out, and ran across the field, down the road into the village to find his uncle. He had escaped. End of story.